Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
Hey, good morning. We are Kenkel Fritz and Friends. Hope you're having a good morning so far. A lot of people like to do the... You ever heard of bulletproof coffee, Misty?
Uh-huh. With the butter or the coconut oil in it?
You put butter in your coffee.
Just seems so weird to me.
I know.
I can't fathom that.
I did try it once upon a time, and I was like, this is okay.
Really?
But you said there's something new that's going on with Dr. Pepper.
Dirty soda. And people are adding creamer, like coffee creamer, into their Dr. Pepper. And they've actually, Coffee Mate has made one now specifically for that. It's coconut lime. And I'm just trying to like fathom Dr. Pepper and a coconut lime creamer. I can almost, some people do the sweet cream. I can almost understand that a little more.
Sweet cream and Dr. Pepper.
But, ew. Like, isn't the point of soda that it's delicious all by itself?
It is. Interesting. Do you, all right, have you tried something like this?
I was at a fast food restaurant picking up just drinks the other day, and I noticed they were doing the coconut lime Dr. Pepper
too. Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's at like fast food places now, and I'm just
okay.
No.
All right.
No.
I think Misty's a big no.
So wrong.
I'd like to try it and see what it's like.
Well, you also tried the coffee Coke a couple of years ago, which I wouldn't even touch.
I kind of like that too. They mixed Coke in with coffee.
Something's wrong with your palate, sir.
Hey, now. Your mic is muted. It's Kenkel Fritz and Friends with you on Family Life Radio and on the Zoom call. I found this mug that I want to buy and I forgot to get it. And it actually says on the mug, your mic is muted. That way, when you're on a Zoom call, you can hold it up in front of the camera.
Oh, that's funny.
To let somebody else know.
I love that. I feel like every company has that person or multiple people that will prolong a Zoom call unnecessarily. Because here's the protocol, just so you know. If you're the only one that has questions at the end, don't hold everybody hostage. Go get off the Zoom call and then email the presenter directly. Like that is the nice thing to do. But there's always like one or two people that just, for whatever reason, they keep going, they ask questions, they have comments. And so I saw this online and I was like, what a genius way to deal with it. So when they start talking, somebody starts playing this. Do you recognize it?
No, what is it?
The Oscar walk-off music. This is your official sign to wrap it up.
It would be even better if their microphone is sinking into the floor.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Do you have a problem with getting frustrated when you're behind the wheel?
Oh.
Yeah?
Okay. What do you...
So...
I mean, not very often. Every once in a while.
I've actually ridden in a car with you. I think you're the person that frustrates the people.
Oh, sorry.
You drive a little slowly.
I do?
You do. You drive kind of slow. No, okay. So Sally and I, if she were here, she would back me up. Like, we get a little testy in traffic, and we're kind of heavy-footed, maybe, and get a little annoyed if somebody's not going
as
quickly.
She's definitely got a lead foot. She's not here. We can talk about her.
Stop it. But I am really bad about indicating my frustration. So say somebody cuts me off or whatever, like my hands fly up like, what on earth are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And my husband has always gotten on to me about that. He's like, that's perceived as a pretty aggressive gesture. And I'm like, no, it's just like I'm annoyed. What are you doing? He goes, you do that to the wrong person, though, and it's not going to land well and you don't know what could happen. And I'm just like, whatever. So we watched a movie over the weekend. And it was about somebody doing something similar in traffic, and it set off the wrong person. And the whole movie was like this trail of consequence for making the wrong person angry in traffic. And at the end of the movie, my husband looks at me and he said, now, granted, this is it's kind of an exaggerated scenario, but you know the sort of thing happens, right? Like when you make the wrong person mad, you just don't know who you're dealing with. So ever since then, that has stayed in my mind, and it seems weird that a movie would change that. But before I like get frustrated and throw my hands up, I'm like, I remember what happened in that movie.
So it has curtailed that behavior?
It has. It really has.
Oh!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a good thing.
It is.
Yeah.
So I'm minding my P's and Q's when I'm behind the slow person in traffic or when somebody cuts me off.
I guess more of us need to watch movies that'll scare it out of us. Misty mentioned earlier, you had a little issue with road rage.
I did. I was pretty bad about like throwing my hands up and exasperation.
But you watched a movie and it scared you into being a nicer driver.
Yep.
Nick,
sure did.
Nick is with us this morning. Good morning.
Hey, so kudos to Russell Crowe for being a motivational actor.
You recognize the movie.
So what movie is it?
Unhinged.
And here's the thing. I thought you were going to follow up with some suggestions about how to stay calm. My way is listening to you all. But let me just tell you, I'm from New York, so that's bad enough. So what did I do? I moved to New Jersey, where the driving's even worse.
I lived in New Jersey for 5 years. I feel you.
There you go. There you go. And then I moved to Atlanta, and forget about it. But I'm here in Warner Robins, and things are pretty chill, and you're absolutely right. You just need to remember that the person in front of you may be having a bad day, or maybe, I don't know, they may be going through some kind of anxiety, and you just consider the other person. Not to be all preachy and everything, but that's the thought that has really helped me out, because I was right there with the arms and like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I'm driving here.
I think the message about just, you know, there's a lot of crazies out there and they misinterpret and they can take it to the next level. I think that's a salient point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to admit my husband is right, but.
And let me just say one more thing. So you were getting on his case for going slow. Ooh, that was kind of cold, man.
He's a pokey little puppy.
Misty found this picture. It says 1980s nuclear bomb shelter. And it's a picture of a school desk. Now, if you're a child of the 70s and 80s, you remember having to take cover in these drills. And that was it. You had to get under your desk for in case there was some sort of a nuclear, you know.
Yeah.
And it did crack me up. It's like, that's not going to do a thing.
Yeah, right. And I remember how they acted when, if you grew up in a place where tornadoes were prevalent, you know, it was like they would make an announcement. 7 tornadoes on the way. Go in the hallway. Put a book on your head. Also, we're having pizza for lunch today. She's like, what is a book on my head going to do? I remember this would have been, oh, goodness. I was in 5th grade. And so the 80s. And I remember we had a really bad weather day. And it was just pitch black outside. We're doing our vocabulary lesson. And several of us happened to look outside right as a little tornado dropped in the front yard of the school.
What?
Now, it went right back up, but we're all going, what just happened? And my teacher was like, hello, vocabulary is not going to do itself. Get back to your lesson.
It didn't matter.
Just not even acknowledge it. To this day, I'm like, did she not see it? Was she trying not to freak us out? Like, I feel like we should have been in the hallway or something.
Who knows? That is funny. You want to chime in? Give us a call at 888-888-9976. Just talking about how we handled things, you know, years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, opposed to now. Reminds me of the nuclear drills where you'd had to get under your desk in case the bomb fell.
Mm-hmm. Tornado drills, go to the hallway and put a book over your head?
Yeah.
That's going to help
a lot.
Weather is scared of books.
Exactly. So we're just talking about how we just had misconceptions of what really to do back then. I'm glad we've, I guess, wisened up a little bit. Hello, good morning.
When I was a kid, we had a really bad storm, and we all went outside to watch it, and there was a funnel cloud up in the sky, and I started crying, and my dad told me that tornadoes do not touch down on hills. And so my entire life, I grew up thinking that tornadoes would never touch down on a hill. And
oh, no.
I became a surgical tech, and I was in a surgery and talking with the surgeon throughout the surgery. And we got talking about bad weather, and I said, yeah, I was really lucky to grow up on a hill and never have a tornado touch down. And he looked up at me. He shook his head and he said, "Who taught you that?" I said, "My dad." And here I am, 30 years old, still believing this.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
I now live a quarter of a mile from the farm that I grew up on. And there was a tornado that touched down probably 8 or 9 years ago that was not too far from our house. And I was like, thank goodness that surgeon said something, because it led me to the basement when a bad storm came.
Right.
Oh, yeah. My word.
If you hadn't have known that, you wouldn't have gotten into your Frady hole.
Absolutely.
We're safe.
Exactly. Family Life Radio, it's Kekel, Fritz, and Friends. It's time for the good news of the day.
It's good news. Ain't it good for your soul? Some good news. Oh.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Alan Cullen from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yes, Alan, tell us, what's going on?
You know, I was homeless for 5.5 years, addicted to methamphetamines. I was picking up needles off the ground, sticking them in my arm, in and out of jails and institutions. And I called out to the Lord, and he rescued me. Now I've got my kids back. I've got my life back. I have an abundance more than I had before.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wow.
Praise God.
I hope that somebody listening, whether it's addiction or something else, you're struggling and you think you are so far gone, God can't fix it. God can't turn it around. Man, you're an inspiration, and you are proof that he can.
Amen. That's right.
He is able.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, we'd love to get your take on this. You can chime in at 888-888-9976. Misty found this on prayer. I thought this was really good. It says, prayer is not a place to be good. It's a place to be honest. You know, I think of corporate prayer when you're in a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like a performance.
Eh? Yes.
That's not good either, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this next prayer is not a place to perform. It's a place to be present.
Oh, that's good.
It's not a place to be right. It's a place to be known. Prayer is not a place to prove your worth. It's a place to receive worth and offer yourself in truth.
Wow.
It's true. When you know, and let's just face it, we can overcomplicate prayer. Prayer's just talking to God.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I feel like, and sometimes, even though I know God knows everything about me, sometimes I try to put on a happy face during prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe downplay things that are heavy on my heart, or, you know, maybe even sometimes I get in the, I don't want to bother God with this, which is so silly. He's God. He loves me. He already knows everything. Like, there's no way to hide from him.
Right.
What is actually happening in your heart. But it's just that weird human tendency.
Well, he is God.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to hear everybody's prayer at the same time. Is there that one prayer that's going to throw him over the top?
Yeah. I think he can handle it.
Exactly. No, you're right. So I just encourage you today to be real with God today when you pray. What's really going on? Share your heart with him. I think he loves that.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. Maybe you have dealt with fear and it's paralyzed you. Reminds me of that Zach Williams song, Fear is a Liar.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us have dealt with it. My wife deals with anxiety. I don't deal with it too often. The thing that really bothers me is when I have this feeling in my gut, something's wrong, but there's absolutely nothing wrong. Where's that? What's that all about?
That's called anxiety.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I've grown up as one of the most fearful people in existence. I mean, from the time that I was little, I was scared of everything. The dark, noises, weather, pull vacuum cleaners. Like, I mean, paralyzing fear. And as I know, like, but I mean, like, honestly, just scared of everything. And then as I've gotten older, because I live with a husband who has kind of irrational anxiety. And not only do I now have my own anxiety, I feel like I've kind of taken his on as well. So things that didn't occur to me to worry about before, because I've heard him worry about it, now I worry about it.
You're thinking about it too.
So we've just, we've added fear onto fear onto fear.
Well, we're talking with Ashley Hetherington. She wrote the book, The Joy of the In-Between, 100 Devotions for Trusting God in Your Waiting Season. This is what she had to say.
One of the things I think that's helped me the most with fighting fear, prayer has been my literal weapon, prayer. So when I get anxious about this thing, when I worry about this thing, oh, I'm on social media and I see that this is going on, and fear creeps in. I have to go, okay, am I going to worry? Am I going to obsess? Am I going to overthink? We're going to choose that. Or am I going to pray? And I'm going to do what 1 Peter 5:7 says, where it says, hey, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. When you cast, you don't cast and then take it back. You cast and you leave it. You say, all right, I prayed about it. I trust that my God heard it. And now I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to go on with my day. And I'm going to trust that the answer's on the way.
You know, her illustration of cast kind of just helped me out, because cast is another word for throw.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to throw your worries away and then go run over.
Right? It's not a boomerang.
Exactly. That's right. It's a really good interview, by the way. Ashley Hetherington, The Joy of In-Between, 100 Devotions for Trusting God in Your Waiting Season. If you don't happen to have a Costco near you, it's like a Sam's Club. And I'm trying to remember if my experience in Sam's Club has been the same as Costco. But you, now Misty, you hadn't had a membership for a while and you recently got one.
After 3 years, we just re-upped our membership and we went this weekend. And I have one question.
What's that?
Costco shoppers, are you okay?
What? What are you talking
about? What is the insanity? There is like a very particular sort of chaos in that store that I didn't remember. So, you know, of course, the parking lot is an absolute disaster of a mess. And it's not just trying to find a park, it's people everywhere. Like, nobody cares that you're trying to drive and they're like, I've got my big cart of groceries. And then once you're inside, there is this strange urgency about everything. Carts zooming down the aisle around you, reaching in front of you. It's like they're afraid they're going to run out of stock, which it's Costco. They're not. You're going to get, you know, your big whatever size of paper towels. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Calm down. I didn't understand what was happening. And I'm telling you, by the time we left, like, I think there's regular anxiety and I think there should be a separate category of mental health for Costco anxiety, because that's what I left with. What is happening in that store?
So, you know what's interesting? I think that the Costco that you and I go to, Misty, because I'm not too far from where you live, it's the same one, is a little smaller. I don't think it's the same size, and I think the parking lot might be a little bit. Well, maybe no, it's a pretty big parking lot.
I don't know, but it's not. I mean, granted, it was crowded. I definitely noticed that, but I've also been in crowded grocery stores where it wasn't. This was like the grocery store the day before Thanksgiving. That's what it felt like.
You know what it is? It's like Black Friday, but every day.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Why are you so frantic? Calm down. Just do your shopping like a normal person. What is happening?
Just relax. Everything's gonna be okay.
Take a deep breath.
Yes.
It's all gonna be fine.
Hi, this is Sherry and I have a joy report.
Sherry!
I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart today.
I had an old junky car. I didn't know if the car would start, nothing on it worked. And so I prayed for an older Toyota Corolla with low miles.
Wow, you were specific. You're like, this is exactly what I want.
And guess what showed up? Somebody in church a couple weeks ago said, we have this car, and it was so cheap, you wouldn't believe it.
Wow.
And it was exactly the amount of cash I had.
Wow.
It looks like a brand new car. It is so beautiful.
Love that.
And I am just thrilled that God, only God could do that.
Yes.
Well, it has only 61,000 miles.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like a new car. So I am just, I just go out and drool over it every morning.
True. She's drooling. She's got an extra rag next to her car.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, God answers prayers.
Well, you helped him along with being very specific. I think about my daughter said, Mom, I just want a car with air conditioning and a radio. And
well, that's pretty simple.
Well, yeah, that's the trouble. She ended up with her great-grandmother's old Oldsmobile. I said, well, honey.
Did it have either
it
of those?
It has air conditioning and a radio.
Oh, there you go.
You forgot to say looks cool.
Yes.
Because it
be more specific. Well, way to go. Congratulations.
Amen. Well, you know, we get what we pray for.
Next year, she's going to call and go, I prayed for a Cadillac.
That's right.
This is adorable. Somebody sent this to us. My 3-year-old said goodnight to all of us tonight. And then, in her bedroom, in the dark, I heard her little voice say, good night, myself. I love you. I love you too.
Oh,
how beautiful.
I love that.
And she said, don't let anyone take that from you, little one. I agree. That's just gorgeous.
It is interesting how life does take it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can pinpoint the exact moment that it happened to me. I was 6 years old. I started first grade. And I had a teacher who didn't like me very much.
Oh.
And was pretty open about it. And I never have regained confidence from that moment.
Oh, Misty.
I know. My family said they just watched it drain out of me like the first week of school, and I was a different person from then on.
Yeah. I think we could all use that innocence. Bring it back.
Yeah.
Somehow, you know?
I wish I could recapture it.
Exactly.
I just didn't care what anybody thought. I was happy with myself.
Well, you know, there's something spiritual to that because people, you know, Jesus said, come as a little child.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I would love to connect with you on Facebook and Instagram where you can share your good news or joy report. Just look for and like FLR Mornings.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.